Welcome to the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze, and today I will tell you the second part of my experience on my Damascus Road and all that came out of it in finding Jesus. So my text once again is from Acts 22. It says, Paul speaking, "And it came to pass, as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me." Now, friends, in the last radio broadcast, I began to give you my testimony, my Damascus Road experience. I share with you about my birth in Nazi Germany, the religious void in my life, and I took you up to my first experience with God, when God spoke to me in a forest, saying, "I love you, I love you, I am love." Or in German, ich liebe dich, ich bin Liebe. As God saw me under the pine branches at 13 years of age, so he sees you. He sees everyone, no matter where they are. No man can hide from God. No man can escape his attention. No man, no matter what evil he has done, is beyond his call. I love you. God's first call to man is always, I love you. His second call is, you must be born again. His third call to you is for you to take up your cross and follow him. 3 years passed since that forest experience, but nothing more spiritually happened until I was 16. I was in my last year of high school. By this time, I had never yet opened the Bible. I had never, ever had anyone talk to me about Jesus and had never said a prayer. I had never heard of a Christian as yet. But now my professor, a former Nazi and atheist, presented Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. As I listened, two voices made themselves known to me. Number one, the voice of reason. As I listened to the story of evolution, it did not make any sense to me. In other words, it was like an insult to my whatever limited intelligence I had. Secondly, there was a voice of conscience. John the Baptist said of Jesus, "This is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No one is born without this inner light." No man is born an atheist. A man becomes an atheist by suppressing what he knows within himself. Although I had no religious background of any kind, I was aware of this inner light. When it came to moral issues, it was always yes or no for me from deep within. Once, while we were taking tests on German history, the answers to the questions were smuggled under the desktops from person to person. I was in the last one to receive the answers. And I sat next to Siegfried in the back corner. When Siegfried handed me the answers, the inner voice within me said, "No." Oh, it was a strong no. I shoved the paper back into Siegfried's hand. We must know that every time we override this voice, our conscience becomes harder. Our inner moral compass loses its sensitivity until we become unable to discern its message altogether anymore. When Martin Luther said at that famous assembly of the nobility and the religious authorities of the Holy Roman Empire at the Diet of Worms, "To go against one's conscience is neither safe nor wise," he sounded the trumpet of God. At the end of this presentation on evolution, my professor asked, "Is there anyone here who would like to dispute the Darwinian theory?" This was an all-boys high school. I was the shyest boy in the class. I had not said a word in 4 years. But upon the professor's question, without my planning it, I came up like a rocket. The words, "I must speak against this tomorrow, burst out of me. Oh, my friend, Christianity is supernatural. Something got a hold of me there. You take the supernatural out of Christianity and you have no Christianity left. The professor said, you have the whole science hour tomorrow. I was petrified, but the class was electrified. After school, I made my way up the cobblestone road to the top of the hill where we lived. I said to my mother, do you have a Bible? She produced the little old Luther Bible in the old German script with a rubber band holding it together. I instinctively turned to the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, since I was studying to be a scientist. I was sure the latest information would be the most recent publication of this book. In a matter of minutes, I realized I had gotten myself into something that was bigger than I was. I decided that God, or whatever had gotten me into this, would have to get me through it. I gave up getting help from the Bible, and so I just planned to stand before the class, be embarrassed, and get on with my life the next day. So there I stood before the class that memorable morning, completely empty in my head. The students looked at me, and I looked at them. You could have heard a pin drop, and suddenly these words came out of me with force. It cannot be, it cannot be, there must be a God, there must be a God. No further message came to me, and embarrassed, I headed for my seat in the back corner, and immediately I entered into an entirely different world in which I had never been in before. As I was sliding onto my bench, the glory of God enveloped me entirely. Yes, I did not have the word glory in my vocabulary, but that is what it was, indescribable, wonderful, and out of this world. I have no recollection of what happened in the classroom. I only know what happened to me. So, nearing my graduation, three questions occupied my mind every day. I was going to get a job, get married, and so forth and so on. Yet I had no answer to where I came from, why I was here, and where I was going when I would die. I felt that I was totally unprepared for life. Then suddenly, while I was in the glory, that same voice that spake to me in the forest 3 years earlier spoke to me again. I will give you the answers to the questions of origin, purpose, and destiny, said that voice. And I was thrilled. From that day on, I hurried home after school each day to read my mother's Bible and pray to the yet much unknown God. In 6 months of reading and praying, I understood nothing except for two scriptures. The one said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. The other was, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. And that's from the Revelation, my friend. So I said to myself, if there was ever a German who did ask, seek, and knock, it was me. If God is real, he has to reveal himself to me. The other verse told me that Jesus wanted to come into my life, but I had no idea as to how to go about it. So, 6 months after I experienced the glory of the Lord, I visited my Jewish grandfather who escaped Nazi Germany during the Holocaust by fleeing to England. On the last day with him, I received a personal invitation by postcard to come to a Bible conference center in northern England. It was from a man I had never heard of before, Major Ian Thomas. There in his office, within 3 hours of arriving at the castle, with Ian Thomas next to me, I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Instantly, he heard my prayer, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I became a new person. I left at 4:30 the next morning to take the train back to Germany. I missed my grandfather at Liverpool, who was supposed to give me money for food for the journey. Because of a storm in the English Channel, I had to spend the night in London. But God provided supernaturally. As a ferry took me across the Channel the next day, the storm, though diminished, was still raging. The ship was listing heavily. The clouds were gray. The sea was black. The wind was strong, and it was raining. I hung over the rail trying to empty my stomach, which was already empty. Suddenly, I knew there was a devil. And he said to me, "Schulze, how do you like to being a Christian?" I responded, if I were to end up in hell, I would speak of Jesus until you would spit me out of there. It was there, my friend, and then, that I committed myself to Christ for better or for worse. I took out the reverse gear of my new life and cast it into the bottom of the sea. I never did go back to look for that reverse gear. Turning back was no longer and never has been an option since that time. So from that time on, I gave diligence to prayer, reading my Bible and obeying every leading of the Lord and witnessing as much as I could and knew. So, of course, witnessing was the hardest for me because I was naturally withdrawn, but I knew I had to deny myself or I would never follow Jesus. So first I witnessed to my mother, and she gave me a cold shoulder. Then I witnessed to my, quote, Christian, unquote, scoutmaster. His bald head and face turned red, and he yelled at me, saying, "Blasphemy, blasphemy!" To him, for someone to say that Christ was in his heart was the same as a sin of blasphemy. According to him, a holy God would never dwell in a sinful man, but I was not offended. He just did not know the secret that Jesus had cleansed my heart from all sin. A few weeks later, I was excommunicated from the Christian Boy Scouts of Germany because I said I had Jesus in my heart. So I, a 16-year-old and a 19-year-old friend, started an underground Boy Scout movement, and we named it Dietrich Bonhoeffer after a Lutheran pastor who worked in the resistance movement to stop Hitler. Bonhoeffer was murdered before the end of the war, but he left the church with a classic document, a wonderful book, called The Cost of Discipleship. Oh, if you would like to know the story of my coming to America and learning to walk with God, you can get my autobiography. It's called I Am Love, through my website or through Amazon.com. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time together. Help us, Lord Jesus, to really get out of the normal and natural things that are cursed from heaven, because we were born to get into the supernatural, to connect with you and to walk with you. And Lord, I pray that we all get rid of this reverse gear. There'll be no more an option for any one of us to obey or not to obey, that we'll put everything into a big yes for God. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Call to Obedience radio program. Tune in again next week at the same time over the same station. Goodbye now. Until then.